Begin the current daf, Masechta Nazir, daf Chav Gimel. Begin three lines down from the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, the second Mishnah of our Perek, which continues on the theme that was mentioned in the first Mishnah regarding when the woman makes Naziris, and specifically how that relates when the husband is made for her Naziris. So the Mishnah says, Ha'isha she'nadja b'nazir, regarding a woman that took a vow of Naziris, v'ha'isha she'isa b'yayin u'metam al-mesim, and yet in spite of that vow of Naziris, she was drinking wine and making herself tummy to dead people, which are all forbidden as Nazira. So the halacha is, Harezu seifegis is arbam, so she gets lashes for violating the prohibition of Naziris. Now, this was actually explained in the Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Either it's an unnecessary halacha to mention, if you hold that the husband's oikil mafreya, meaning because obviously he was not made for the nether, and obviously if he's not made for the nether, and the woman is violating, of course she gets lashes. But it was only necessary because of the contrast of the case of the Seifa of the Mishnah, or actually as the conclusion of the halacha is that the husband's megis gaiyus, so it's talking about actually that he was made for it, but that's only mikan alaba, and therefore whatever she did up until then, she was a valid nazir, and therefore she gets lashes for becoming tamal mesim or drinking wine. Now the Mishnah continues, the Seifa, however, hafala baila, let's say the husband was made for her neder of naziris, vihi lo yada shafala baila, but she didn't know that her husband was made for a nether, and therefore, in spite of the fact that she didn't know she was drinking wine and becoming a tamal mesim, and that the Mishnah says, "Inus sefeges es harbam." She does not get the 39 lashes, and the reason being very simply is because although she thinks she's a nazir, she's really not. Now, but Rabbi Yehuda, he argues, he says, "Inus sefeges es harbam." He says, "Look, if she's not going to get lashes, like you said, because biblically she's really not a nazir." But he says, Tisbig Makis Mardis, but at least she has to get rabbinic lashes, which are called the Makis of Mardis, of trying to give like rebuke, because ultimately she had intention to violate a biblical precept, although really she wasn't, but she thought she was, so she deserves at least rabbinic lashes. Now explaining the source of this halacha, the Sefer, the Gemara said, Tarban, we learn the Braisa. Pasig in Bamidbar says, and the Pasig there is in Perek Lamed, Pasig Gimel begins, that if the husband will be made for the nether, will nullify his wife's vow on the day that he hears it. So therefore, whatever came out of our lips and whatever she had enunciated as a vow will not be valid. And the pasuk there concludes, Isha hafeiram, because her husband has nullified it, v'Hashem yislach la, and Hashem will atone for her. Now, the question that the Bryce is addressing is that, what is the pasuk talking about? If her husband, as the pasuk says, was made for her neder, then why does she need atonement? It comes retroactively that she wasn't a nazir in the first place. So that is what the Braisa explains. It must be talking about like the halacha of our Mishnah. Be'isha shahafala ba'ilu. It's talking about a woman that her husband was made for her neder. But v'hi lo yada, she didn't know about it. That's what our kasam adaba, that's what the pasuk is mentioning. Shehi tzricha kapar v'slich, where such a woman needs atonement and forgiveness because although whatever she's doing is okay, because he was already made for it, but she doesn't know. And since she doesn't know, she needs atonement because she thinks she's sinning, and she's sinning anyway for that thought, and doing that action based on that, she requires atonement. Now, the Braisa tells us, when Rabbi Kiva would get up to this pasuk, he would cry. He would say, imagine a person that intends to eat non-kosher meat. And ends up eating kosher piece of meat, meaning from a lamb, still toying kapar v'slicha, still as we learn in this pasuk, where this woman intends to do something forbidden, but she's not even really doing anything forbidden, because she's really not a nazir anymore, which is the parallel of trying to eat non-kosher, beat from a swine, and eating from a lamb, and still you need to have atonement. So Kiva said, Hamaskavin lalas biyad basa chaza, someone that intends to eat non-kosher meat, v'ala biyad basa chaza, ends up eating non-kosher meat, Allah has come and become all the more so how much a person needs atonement, because not only is their thought problematic, but their action actually is problematic too. And therefore, for sure, you need to have slicha and kapar in that situation. Okay, it's a bedavato emir. Similarly, you find, the Braisa says, a pasuk in Vayikra. Pasuk in Vayikra is in Parakei Pasuk Yitzayin, which begins, says, v'im nefesh ki sechatov, a person is going to sin. V'as sa'achas mekal mitzvah Hashem ashalo yisrael sana. And the person will do one of the commandments that Hashem had said not to do, and they have violated that. So the pasuk there concludes and says, "V'lo yada," and really the person didn't know. The ashem, and the person was negligent. So benasa avayna, the person has to carry their sin, which that pasuk is in the context of what's called the ashem toloi. You have to bring a dependent ashem, meaning to say that it's hanging in the balance. You don't know if you sinned. You're not sure. You didn't mean to. Now you ate something, you did something, as the Brice will explain, two actually different interpretations of what's the exact case, but you don't know if what you did was wrong or not. Now maybe you did sin. So that's what the pasuk is saying. So then you have to have a kapara for that sin. Now, Rabbi Kiva interprets it that it's talking about one piece. What that means is, and that's what he interprets, and he provides the same lesson as in the previous pasuk. Imagine somebody that intended to eat. He thought it was a kosher piece of meat. It was from a lamb. And it ended up being, he didn't realize until afterwards, where he's not even sure, but maybe it was from swine. For example, like let's say there's one piece. Savik shel shuman, savik shel chaylev. There's two types of fats in an animal. There are those that are permitted fats and those that are forbidden. Shuman is the permitted and chaylev is the forbidden. Now he has a piece of fat that he's eating. He takes a piece of fat and he thinks it's the kosher one. And afterwards he turns out he's not sure. Was it the permitted one? Was it the not one? Amar krov and osav ayin. And still the pasuk says he needs an atonement for his sin. He has to bring ashem toli. So Amar Rabbi Kiva says, so mishin eskaven lalas biyada basachas. Imagine somebody that intended to eat non-kosher meat, v'ala biyada basachas, and ends up eating non-kosher meat, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so he needs an atonement. Where if you didn't even mean to, and it turns out you're not even sure, but that one piece might have been non-kosher, you need atonement for sure when you intended to, and you ate non-kosher, for sure you need atonement. Now, Isa ben Yehuda, he interprets the pasuk a little bit different. When it says, v'liyada, he didn't know, but ashram and he sinned, but nasavon, he has to carry this sin. So Isi ben Yehuda interprets it as talking about two pieces. And actually, both interpretations are necessary, as the Gemara will conclude. And he learns, "Umam mishnes kaben lalas biyada basa tle v'ala biyada basa chaz." Imagine somebody that ends up that intends to eat meat from a lamb, and he ends up eating meat from a swine. Kugain, for example, in his case, is a little bit different than Bekivas. Shtei chatichas. Imagine there's two pieces in front of a person. Achas al chaylev, achas shuman. One has the kosher fat, and one has the non-kosher fat. Still, the pasuk says, "V'nasa v'inoi." After you ate one piece, oh my! Now you're not sure. Did you eat the kosher one? Did you eat the non-kosher one? You have to bring a carbon ashram talui. So, if so, he says, "A meskav malalas biyada basa chazer va'ala biyada basa chazer." That was talking about when you intended to eat kosher. Now, afterwards, you're not sure. But imagine if you intend to eat non-kosher and you end up eating non-kosher, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so. And al dover zen regarding such a thing is yidva hadvoyim. A person should be moan. Now, actually, as Tosfos brings, the word yidvu is actually the Rosh HaTevis of yada v'ashem v'nasa, which are actually the words of the pasuk regarding when it talks about an ashem toli. So the Gemara says, "B'cholani lamali." Why do we need three different references for this halachic concept of where if even you didn't mean to, or you did mean to, but you didn't sin, that you need to have an atonement for sure when you meant to and you did, that you need to have an atonement? They're all saying similar ideas. So the Gemara says, Tzrichin, you need to have all these three sources. Why? Ditan the Gabi Isha, had we taught this concept of Hashem Yislach Lo regarding the woman that we said that she didn't even end up sinning, yet thought, because she thought she was, she needs an atonement. Hasam hu debay kapar beslicha, there we would say she requires atonement and forgiveness. B'shem di mikarli surichav, because originally, when she's doing it, she's intending to do an iser. So you're intending to do something against the will of your creator. So although you didn't even do that, but you wanted to, that's sinful in its own right. So you need an atonement. When you have one piece of fats, not sure if it's kosher or the non-kosher, when the person intended, he thought it was the kosher piece of fats. So you would think he does not require an atonement and forgiveness because he didn't intend to. And even afterwards, you're not even really sure. So that's why you need to say that even over there, you need to have an atonement. Again, and all the more so when you intended and you did. Now, v'yid mahada, had we only said the case of when you have a piece of fat, not sure if it's kosher or not, where the iki surah. There, yes, you need to have an atonement, and you would require, as the pasuk tells you, ashram tali, because ultimately, very likely, or possibly, you actually did a violation. You're not sure. Maybe it was the chaylev, not the shuman. Aval ish, the hafer labayla, but regarding the case of the woman, we would have said, that where ultimately her husband was made for a neder, the hetera where what she did ultimately was a permitted thing, we would think to say that maybe she does not require atonement. Yes, you meant to, but you didn't do something wrong. That's why we have to say also over there that she requires Vashem Yislach Lo. Navid Mahani Tarti, had we said only the case of the woman and the case of the one piece of fat, that there is where you need to have Kapar Vaslicha, Havamina Hani Tarti who decided Lohim Bekapar Vaslicha. We would have thought that not just that they require, but that actually it's enough for them, this atonement and this forgiveness, where they don't need to have like a regular chatas, either Nashim Toloi or the woman just needs to be forgiven, because Dula Ikva Isura, because regarding those two cases, the Isser is not established. In other words, by the case of a woman, in general, there's no Isser, because her husband really was made for it. Moreover, by the case of the one piece of fat, there wasn't established definitively that there's an Isser here, because actually there's only one piece of fat, and he thought that that piece of fat was Shuman, was kosher fat. So therefore, for them, it's enough an atonement from Hashem, where, again, lesser, like an Hashem Talai, or just Hashem forgiving. Avashdecha tichas, when you have two pieces in front of you, achas shachel and achas shoshuma, one is the non-kosher fat and one is the kosher fat, the ikva isura, with there, the person knows that definitively, there's for sure one of them that is non-kosher. It is established that one piece is chel. Then we would think, lo yisagale bekapar b'slicha, that actually would not be enough for Hashem to forgive the person, because on some level he's almost like a mazer, like a deliberate sinner, because you knew one of them was non-kosher, should have been more careful. That's why we need the third interpretation, that of Isi ben Yehuda, to say that it doesn't make a difference whether you didn't know at all or you didn't know part of the way. It's still considered that you didn't intend to, and therefore a Nashim Tala would be enough, and it would be included in Kapara Vetzlicha. But again, as all three interpretations had said, Kol Shekein, all the more so when you intend to and you do sin, for sure a person needs to have Kapara Vetzlicha. Now, continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba b'Bachana, Amar b'Yichanan." It says, "Ma'idichsib." How do we understand this pasuk in Hosea that says, "Ki yisharim darchei Hashem," because the paths of Hashem are straight, but the tzaddikim yilchubam, and therefore the righteous walk in it because it's a straight path. But a paishal mikashlubam, but the sinners, they stumble on this path. So on that, the Gemara says, "Mashal shnei bnei adam." This could be compared to two people. They're both doing the same thing. They're roasting their carbon Pesach to eat it on the 15th of Nisan. Now, echad achlu l'shom mitzvah. One of them does it for the mitzvah purpose of eating a carbon Pesach that Hashem had commanded him to do it. V'echad achlu l'shom achil gazeh. The other one needs it for gluttonous type of eating. And therefore, you could have them both doing the same thing, but zesh achlu l'shom mitzvah, this one that eats it for the sake of the mitzvah, is v'et tzadikim yelchobam, is what the righteous going in the path of Hashem. But the one who's eating it for a totally different intention, just as a glutton, that is the categorization of a sinner who stumbles on the precepts of Hashem. Now, that the Gemara asks, Amli Rish Lakish. Shlakish said to Rabbi Yechanan, Hai Rosh Hakarisle, you called the one who eats a gluttonous type of eating for the carbon Pesach a wicked person? And he says, Nehido lo ko'ovin mitzvah anamufcha, obviously that he's not doing the ultimate ideal way of committing the mitzvah, which would be for the sake of fulfilling Hashem's mitzvahs, but Pesach mi ka'avad, but ultimately he has fulfilled his mitzvah of a carbon Pesach, how could you call him a wicked person? Now the Rosh actually points out that it's seemingly from Perek HaGozel Kama, which is in Mesechta Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud, that sounds like when someone eats what's called achila gasa, which is gluttonous, which is you're eating once you're stuffed already, that's actually not called achila. So the Rosh asked that it is true, Rabbi Yechon is correct. That means to say you have done an Isser, because you didn't fulfill your carbon Pesach, because it's not even considered consumption. It's like you didn't eat. So that the Rosh has two answers. Either what the Gemara is saying over here is that, although you're right, that the person has not fulfilled this chiv of carbon Pesach, but how could you call him a wicked person? In other words, what should he have done? Because he was already satisfied before he ate it, that doesn't make him a wicked person if he does eat it. In other words, it was beyond his control. Or Rabbi Natan answers that no, there's two levels of achila gasa. Over there in the Baba Kama, it's talking about where the person ate so much that he's disgusted with eating anything more. And whatever he eats after that, he's not really having any pleasure from. And that's what the Gemara there says. If let's say you eat achila gasa on Yom Kippur, you're going to be exempt because like you're not even eating. Our Gemara that says he's eating it for achila gasa just means to say he's stuffing himself but it's not that he's disgusted with the food, and therefore it is considered consumption. Hence, we have fulfilled your chiyuv of Karban Pesach, and that's what Rish Lakish is wondering, that why calling him a wicked person, not a Rosh, you kashlo bam, it's just that it's not ideal. So Ella, rather, Moshlish Nebiyadim, he gives a different parable for this pasuk. Two people. This man has his wife and his sister in his house. This guy also has the same situation, which we're saying it's the same path. He has his wife and his sister in this house. Now, for one guy, one person, since it's dark in the house, encounters when he's having relations, it ends up happening with his wife, and the other one has relations with his sister. Now that's what Rish Lakish says. The one who ends up having relations with his wife is the one who is the righteous person, walks in the path of Hashem rightfully. But the one who ends up having relations with his sister is the sinner, is a stumble. Although it's a stumbling, he didn't mean to, but that's because of sin, and that's what ends up happening to them, that Hashem puts it for them in the way that they really are. He ends up having relations with his sister. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, me dummy, is it really comparable to say that this is the interpretation of the Pasuk? Anan karmin chode derech. We were saying from the Pasuk that it's talking about one path. We have this same path as Darche Hashem, that the righteous go on that path and do not stumble, whereas the wicked go on the same path and stumble. But hacha shnei derechim, the parable you're giving is two different paths, because one person went with his wife and the other one went with his sister. It's not the same path. So Ella, rather, the Gemara gives a different analogy, which is mashul alayt to shtei benayis of imay. You could compare it to Light with his two daughters, where they had incest with the father and his two daughters. Now, hein sheniskavnu l'shem mitzvah was b'tzedikim yelchavam. They thought, when they saw Sadaim go up in smoke, they thought that the whole world was done. Now, how is the world going to continue? They said, let's give our father hard liquor to drink, and we'll have relations with him, and we'll be able to have children from that. Now, their intention was for the mitzvah purpose of procreating. Therefore, that was considered in the same action, tzedikim yelchubam. Hu sheniskaven l'shem aveira u'poishim kashubam b'him, who he intended to do it for sin, therefore, for him was considered the same act as a stumbling block. Now, the Rush explains, this is obviously like the mandam and mesach tzivam, that holds that a guy is forbidden to have a relation with his daughter. Now, actually, he says, even according to the one who says it's permitted, from the Dur HaMabul onward, the generation of the flood, they had taken upon themselves to make a gather, a fence, that not to have relations with one's close relatives. And actually, to prove that is because if they weren't separated and they had no problems and qualms having with their daughters, so then they wouldn't have had to give him wine to drink to get him in the situation where he would do it. And therefore, it's obviously that they did hold that was sinful. And therefore, we see that the same act that his daughters had with him, their intention was for mitzvah, that's tzedikim yelchubam, and his intention was for sin, to have an immoral relationship, and that's what's considered the same act for him, a stumbling block. Now, the Gemara wonders, v'dimahu nami l'shum mitzvah chavin. We know that the daughter's intention was for the sake of a mitzvah. Maybe that was his intention also. Maybe he thought the world was over and he wanted to have continuity through his daughters. On that, Amr B'Yechani says no. Because Kol HaPasuk HaZeh, this whole Pasuk that was mentioned previously on his way before he went into Sadaim, we find is Al Shem Aveir Nemar. The whole thing was said with allusions and references to immorality, to Arayas. Now, therefore, it's impossible to judge him favorably and say that when it came to a certain type of immoral type of relationship, that it was for the sake of heaven. Obviously, this was his weak point, and it was for sure for the sake of his Nus. As we find this pasuk, and this pasuk is in Bereishis Perkut Gimel Pasuk Yud. The entire pasuk is V'yisaloyd Azenav. That Light lifted up his eyes. This was after he had the dispute with Avraham Avinu because their shepherds were fighting over could they graze in other people's fields or not. So Light lifted up his eyes because Avraham Avinu said, "You go your way, I'll go my way." The Yar is called Kikar Yad, and he saw the entire plain of the Jordan. Kichula Mashkitz, it was entirely saturated. Lefnei Shachas Hashem Esedem Esamar, because this was before Hashem had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, was Kegan Hashem, was like the garden of Hashem, Keretz Mitzrayim, like the land of Egypt, Boyach HaTzor, when you come towards Tzoyah. Now on that, Rabbi Yechanan says that you find allusions in this whole entire pasuk to Arayis. When it says V'yisa Light, that Light lifted up, we find the same reference, Vatisa Ishes Adoinov Esaineha, that the wife of his master, which was Yosef's master, which was Ishes Paitifa, lifted up her eyes, where again she was trying to seduce Yosef to have relations with her. Esaineha, when the pasuk continues that he lifted up his eyes, we find the same thing, Kihi Yashra Be'enai, because she's fine in mine eyes, that Shimshon wanted also an inappropriate Polishti woman, again regarding the same topic of Arise. When it says Vayar that he saw, we find the same reference, Vayar Oysa Shechem ben Chamar, that Shechem, the son of Chamar, saw Dina, and again he lost it and violated Dina. And the pasuk continues and says, as called Kikar Yarden, the entire plain of the Jordan. The word Kikar we find in Mishli says, Ki ba'ad isha zayna, because for a promiscuous a woman that's a harlot, ad Kikar Lechem, it caused a person to become so destitute till all he has is to even get a loaf of bread, where again we find the reference of Kikar there regarding Znus. As the pasuk continues, Ki chula mashke, he saw that it was entirely with drink, was saturated. So we find the same word mashke in Hoshea that says, Elcha achre mahava, I'll go after my lovers, Nishni lachmi umayme, that give me my bread and my water, Tzimri apishti, my wool and my linen, Shamni vishikuyai, my oil and my drink. Again, that same word mashke over there, again, in reference to lovers, to znus, to that whole topic. And therefore, there's definitely reason for us to believe, and no reason for us to judge him favorably, that his intention was upayish mikashlubam, which was for znus, and they were doing the same act for a mitzvah. Now, the Gemara, however, wonders, but v'homein is honest. Even if you say that, okay, definitely if he would have been conscious, his intention would be for immorality. But the thing is that it was beyond his control, because as the Pesukim tell us, they gave him hard wine to drink. And therefore, at that moment, he definitely didn't know anything what was going on to intend for an Avera. So why are we calling him, for this context, a Peshea? So Tana Mishum Reb Yisi Bar Rav Chuni was taught in the name of Rabbi Yisi Bar Rav Chuni that he said, Lama Nokut Alvav Ubukuma Shal Bechira. Why, in that pasuk in Bereishis Yud Tes Lamed Gimel, where it says, Vatashkenes Avin Yain Balailahu, so the daughters gave their father hard wine to drink that night, and it says, Vatavai HaBechira, so the older daughter came first, Vatishkenes Avin, she had relations with her father, it says, Vulayada Beshikva Ubukuma. He didn't know when she lay down with him, and he didn't know when she got up, because he was so intoxicated. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Bar Rav Chuni asks, why is there a dot on top of the vav of the word uvukuma when it talks about the older daughter getting up and leaving the relations with her father? So now he says, because Lemer is coming to tell you, and that's as Tosafot explains, the dot on the top is to say, like, as if that word's not there, shebishichva lo yada, because what that's come, the pasuk is alluding to is that when she came to lay down with him, that he didn't know because he was so intoxicated. Avukuma yada. But when she got up, he already was aware of what happened, and he realized what happened. Now, that the Gemara has, still, my hava leila mevi, what should he have done? My dahava hava, what was. So why? How does that make him retroactively into a sinner? Okay, so he enjoyed it now, but he didn't do it. So therefore, why are we calling him a paisheya for this context of this act of relations between him and his daughter? So I think Gemara says, no, nafkamina, the difference is, the next night he should have not taken drink again. I mean, the first night was his older daughter. The second night they did the same thing to him again. And therefore, from the fact that he let them give him drink again, where although he's not going to be conscious when the second daughter is going to come, but he knew what's going to happen. And obviously it's because he desired, where that was how his mind always was, for those type of immoral type of lustful thoughts. And that's why we could have the same act that the daughters were L'shem Mitzvah and his was L'shem Aver. Now, continuing on this topic of light, the Gemara says, Dorish Rava. Rava expounded, Ma'andich said, what does it mean, the pasuk in Mishle? It says, Ach Nifsha, a rebellious brother, Nikiryas Oiz, from the strong, fortified city, as we continue in Tamid Beis, Umidyanim, and because of the dispute that was between them, is Kebriach Arman, is like the bolt of the castle. What is the pasuk referring to? So on that, the Gemara says, Ach Nifshe Mikiryas Oiz, a rebellious brother from the city of fortitude, Zel Loit, that's a reference to Loit, Shapirish Mavram, who he separated himself from Avram. Now, the reason why it's called Ach, although they weren't really brothers, is because the Pasuk, they say that, Ke Anoshim Ach Manachna, because we are brothers. So we see that it's called a brother to Avram Avinu. Moreover, when it says Mikiryas Oiz, that he removed himself from the Kirya that was afforded to, that's Avram, as the Pasuk says elsewhere, he beat to Atzur Chaitzvasam, where he's called the place of fortitude, of strength. Now, Umidyanim, when it says that because of the dispute that was between Avraham and Lot, again, because of their shepherds, they had this big fight, so that made him leave Avraham. Now, that caused him to go and become neighbors with the people of Sadaim. Now, because of that, and we continue on Talmud Beis, that they caused him to have this story after Sadaim and the Amorah was destroyed. So then he had this, he ran away, and it was just him and his daughters, because his wife turned into a pillar of salt, caused him to have this incident with his two daughters, which caused the nation of Ammon and Moav, which were forbidden to come into the Jewish people. That's Kibriach Arman. That is because they were closed off, how a bolt is for a castle, which is pretty strong because you don't want the heat to come into the castle, which is Shehitel Midyonim Kibrichin Barmoin, which is the same thing regarding the people of Ammon and Moav, which they were, because of the dispute, were blocked out like a bolt and like a castle. Whereas the Pasuk tells in Devarim, although other people could come, or some can come right away, but Ammon and Moav can never come into the assembly of Hashem. Again, we find that Lot separating himself from Avram caused such a strong divide between the Jewish people and his descendants of Ammon and Moav. Now, moreover, the Gemara expounds again from Darish Rava, Ve'item, and some say Rabbi Yitzchak, what does it mean the Pasuk in Mishle? It says, Letaivo Yevakish Nifrat. For lust, the desire causes separation, and b'chol tushia yizgala. In all of the wisdom, this is exposed. So what does this mean? L'tayvi yivakish nifred zeh Lot. That's a reference to Lot, and the reason being is because he went after the lusts and desires of his heart. That's why he went to Sodom and Amorah in the first place. And as we said, that whole entire pasuk is a reference to lustful type of thoughts. Now, moreover, that's why it says he's yivakish, and the taivi yavakish, the desire of the lusting that he went, that caused Nifra, that caused him to separate himself from Avram Avinu, because he wanted to be able to get away from Avram, who was so righteous, and be able to fulfill his lusts with the people of Sodom and Amorah. That's what the Pasuk says, u'b'chol tushiyas gala, that in all of the wisdom, this is exposed. In other words, the folly of Lot is exposed in Torah Shabbat Sav, and also in Torah Shabbat Peh, and the oral law. And that is because in his gala kloinoi, that his disgrace is revealed again and again in the shuls where they read from the Torah Shabbat Sav, and in the Bat Midrashas where they discuss the oral law. The Torah Shabbat Sav is obviously talks about what he did. And moreover, it's not like we learn the Mishnah Mesech Zivamas in Torah Shabbat Peh, says Amoidi Umay Avi Asurin, the people of Ammon and Moav are forbidden to come to the Jewish people. The Isurin Israelim, and their prohibition is eternal. And why is that? Because of what Lot had done with his two daughters and separated from the Jewish people from Avram, and therefore that again is Nizgala, again and again, the folly of his actions. Now, however, the Gemara does say, Amar Ula, Ula says, you could have, as we find, Tamar Zinsa. Tamar was Mizana with her father-in-law Yehuda, Zimri Zina, and Zimri, who is a Nasi from Shebet Shimon, he was Mizana with Kazbi, but there were big differences between the two of them, where although they both had illicit relationships, Tamar Zinsa, when Tamar was Mizana with Yehuda, Yatsu Mimenu Malachim and Neviim, it came out of that union kings and prophets, kings from David, as it says, Ve'ila told us parrots, which came out of Tamar and Yehuda, which the whole lineage it talks about that it came to David. And prophets is because we know that Amitz and Amatzi were brothers, and where one of them was from the Davidic kingdom, and therefore must mean his brother who is a prophet was from that same lineage coming from Tamar. Now, the reason for this is that Rush explains that Tamar's intention was L'shem Shemayim, where she wanted to build a family from the children of Yaakov, where it says that she was married to one of the brothers, and he died, and then the other brother, and he died, and she saw that Shelah, the third brother, got older, and Yehuda wasn't giving her to him, so she went and she was Mezana with Yehuda, but it was L'shem Shemayim. But Zimri Zina, when Zimri was Mezana, with by this incident with B'nai Midian, Nafal Lav Kamer Vavis Miyisrael, tens of thousands of Jews died because of that act of Znus. Now, similarly, we find this concept, Amram Nachman Yitzchak, he says, G'day La'Averu L'Shma. How great is a sin, as we find by Tamar, for the sake of heaven, Mi Mitzvah Shalei L'Shma, greater than a mitzvah that's done not for the sake of heaven. Now, the Gemara interrupts this statement by asking, from the fact that you say that an Averu L'Shma, an Averu for the sake of heaven, is greater than a mitzvah that's not for the sake of heaven, sounds like that a mitzvah Shalei L'Shma is not that great. But on that the Gemara asked, but Ba'amar Behuda Marav, he says, La'ilam yasek adam mit Torah v'mitzvahs. Person should always toil in Torah and mitzvahs, afilo shel hazman, even not for the sake of heaven, just to get whatever the person wants to get at. Now, shemetech shel hazman, the reason, because on multiple levels, even on a behavioral level, is because in doing it shel hazman, ba'al hazman, so that brings a person to come to do it for the sake of its own sake, where sometime during the learning, even though you're doing it for ulterior motives, you're going to get so into it, and you just want to know the pshat. You want to understand it for the sake of just understanding, which is the lishma of the learning. Now, from the fact that it says that from the shalai lishma, you come to lishma, obviously we see that that's an automatic thing, that it's going to bring you to do a mitzvah lishma. So why is that not such a great thing, a mitzvah shalai lishma? Elam, or rather, Gemara amends the statement of Ranach Meitzchak, that how great is an aver lishma, kim mitzvah shalai lishma, like a mitzvah de shalai lishma. In other words, they're both good. They're both not ideal. You want to do a mitzvah lishma, but an aver lishma is as good as a mitzvah shalai lishma. Tzachsiv, like we find the pasuk in Shaifin that says, tevoirach minashim, she should be blessed from the women, Yaal, who is eshes chevra keni, the wife of chevra, from the people of the keni, minashim ba'oil tevoirach, she should be blessed from the blessing that the women in the tent are blessed. She should have the same type of blessing. Now, man noshim shem oil, who is the women in the tent that we find the tent, the word oil mentioned by them? That's our imahis, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valaya, that the word oil is mentioned by them. That's how blessed is Yal. Now, the chiddush of this is, as the Gemara explains, Omer b'yichdan, sheva b'ilois bal oisa rasha b'oisa shah. There were seven acts of relations that Sisera, king of the Canaanim, who were running away from the Jews at that time, had when he went into the tent of Yaal. And Yaal wanted to have the opportunity to kill him because that would end the whole battle. But she had to weaken him first. So she had relations with him first to weaken him, and then she took this peg and put it in his skull, and she killed him, and that was the end of everything. Now, on that, Rabbi Yechon says, they had it seven times. Shneimar, like it says in the pasuk over there, it says, Bein rag leha kara, between her legs he kneeled, Nafal, he fell, Shachav, he lay, Begoyim, etc. Now, there were seven references there because it says the word Kriya, kneeling, three times. It says Nefila, falling, three times. And the word Shrivet says of laying one time. So there were seven different Be'ilis. And that is what the Pasuk is referencing in Shaftim, saying that although that was an Avera, that she had this illicit relationship with this man's Sisera, but it was Lishma, was for the sake of doing a mitzvah, and therefore that's as great as a mitzvah Shalai Lishma. Now, the Gemara wonders, but ultimately, she had pleasure from this act of relations with Sisera. Now, as the Rush explains, although that doesn't bother us, that of the act that she did, because there's no halacha of that she should have allowed herself to get killed first before doing what's called Gilei Arayis, which usually you say Yahar Gval Yavar, because she, a woman, is what's called Karka Oilamhi. She's just like a piece of land. She's not doing an action. A man has to do an action to have relations. So that would, you'd say, Yag Val Yav. So she doesn't have to. She could just lay in one place, and she doesn't have to get herself killed. But the problem is, how does the Pasuk praise her? Since she's having pleasure from a sin, although she doesn't have to get killed, but how can we say she gets all these blessings for the Avera that she did, Lishma, although it's not requiring her to get killed, but she's enjoying this act of immorality. So that Rabbi Yechonin says that no, Kol Tivasin Shel Rasham, all the favors from the wicked, where having relations might be seemingly a pleasurable thing, in the elarah etzel tzaddikim, it's considered bad for the righteous. Hashem, like it says in the pasuk in Bereishis, Hashem tells Lavan when he's on his way to catch up to Yaakov when he ran away from him, Hashem tells him, "Hashem alecha, watch yourself, midaber im Yaakov, from talking with Yaakov, mitayv adra, from good until bad." Now the question is, Bishlam or Rashab, we understand why Lavan was being warned not to talk evil to Yaakov. Why can't he say good things to him? Rather, what we infer from that pasuk is Tevasli Rahi Shmamina. The good from what they think they're doing good from the wicked is actually bad for the righteous. Now, as the Gemara explains in Perek Mitzvos Chalitza, that by Yaakov, the reason why it would be bad, even if he would be doing good, because when Lavan is saying all these good things, he would be praising his gods, his Avodah Zarah, which is bad for the righteous. Now, by Yaal, the bad was because just the fact that he's defiling her, instilling her in her all his impurities, although, again, there would seemingly be the pleasure, that's not toiva on any level, and that's why she was praised for her arveira, lishma, which is as great as a mitzvah, shalei lishma. Now, Gufo, we had quoted in that previous discussion this statement from Amar Behuda Marav. It says, La'olam yasek adam mitarva mitzvahs. A person should always toil in Torah and the mitzvahs, afishal alishman, even though you think, like, I don't know this, I'm not into this, it doesn't make a difference, even not for its sake, because shemitech shal alishman balishman, one day you'll wake up and you'll realize that you're doing it for its sake. It'll bring you to doing it for its sake. Now, the reason why a person should always toil, and even shal alishman, is as we find, shebeschar membeis karbanos, shehikrev balak harasha, because in the reward of the 42 karbanos that the wicked Balak brought, which was definitely shal alishma, he had hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people and to help that happen, to facilitate that. He had all these karbanos being brought, and then the reason why it was 42 is because they did this three times, and each time there was seven mezbeches, and then each mezbech was a par and an ayal, a ram and a bull. And therefore that comes out to 42. So we're there, he was doing it for sure, shalai lishma, and still, zachav yatsam and rus, he merited to have rus come out of him in that merit, which obviously came to David HaMelech, which was lishma, so you have an aveira, shalai, you had something, a mitzvah, shalai lishma, which obviously was not for the sake of heaven, which caused and brings out to lishma. Because as we find, v'amim b'yisim b'chanin, it says rus was bas benoi shal egloin. She was the granddaughter of Eglon, who was himself the grandson of Balak, Melech Mayav Haisa. So we find that a person should always do things, Torah mitzvahs, even Shalei Lishma, because that brings to a state of Lishma, as we find by the great reward that Balak had. Now, resuming the discussion we had before from the daughters of Light, the Gemara says, Amar B'chi Bar Abba Amar B'yechna. Says, Minayin, from where do we know, She'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Afel Eschar Sichana, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so exacting in his rewarding of people that even just a refined way of speaking, Hashem gives a reward for that. So he says, because the Ilu, because whereas Bechira, the Kariyisim Mayav, the older of the two daughters of Light, she called her son that she had from a union with her father, Mayav, which is from the word of Me'avi, from my father. That's where I got this child from. On that nation of Mayav Amalei Rachmana, Hashem, the Torah says to the Jewish people in Sefer Devarim, Al Tatzer es Mayav, don't harass the Mayavite people, Val Tiskar Bam Belchama, and don't wage a war with them. Now it sounds like Melchama Hutalai. It's only a war you shouldn't wage. Al Tziur Tzarinan, but you could pain them. The Tiskar Bam that you shouldn't do is only Melchama, but a different type of Tiskar you could do. Ve'ilu Tziira Dikarisi Ben Ami, but the younger daughter, who didn't call it so explicit that it was a child from her father, rather she called him the son of my people, which alludes to that, but it didn't say directly that it was Moyavi, rather these are the people of Amoin, Amalei, regarding those people, the Torah tells the Jewish people, Al Titzurim, don't harass them, Val Tizgerba, and don't contest with them, and it doesn't say don't contest with them regarding a war. And that you can infer that Afil Tzu'ur leit Tzarin and Klav, that you can't even bother them at all, not even just a war, but even something even less than that. And that's because of the refined speech that she said, Amoin ben Ami, and not Mayav, Mayavi. Moreover, Amar B'chir Bar Av and Amar B'shu ben Karcha, another lesson we learned from that incident, is Lo'olam Yakdim Adam L'Dvar Mitzvah. A person should always preface himself to do a Dvar Mitzvah first. Now the reason being is because those two daughters thought they were doing it, at least they were intending to do it L'Shem Shemayim. So we find Shebeschar Leila Achas, Sheked Masa Bechir L'Tzira, for the reward of the one night that the older daughter had done, so to speak, this mitzvah of having relationship with her father. Before the younger daughter, as we continue in Tabach of Dal Manalf, Zachsa Bekadma Arba Darius B'Yisrael Amachas. She merited and she went first four generations in the Jewish people of having royalty before the people of Ammon, and that's because Ovid, Yishai, and these are sons, Ovid and his son Yishai and his son Dov and his son Shlomo come from Rus, which is from Moav. Whereas the younger daughter, that of Ammon, didn't merit to have a grandchild that was from royalty in the Jewish people until you have Rechavim, who was the son of Shlomo, who came from Nama HaAmonis, from Ammon. So we find that because she went one day earlier, she was Kadmon Dvar Mitzvah, she merited to have Malchus and the Jewish people four generations before the younger daughter from Amoin because of this that she did the mitzvah one night before. And therefore a person should always be makdim themselves Ledvar Mitzvah.